Every Friday, during the legislative session, we get an update here from some of our area lawmakers, and kind of rotating through. We have about three or four, five different lawmakers here in the region. We try to squeeze in here at least once a week, and this week it's Representative Ron Hyland of Wamego, representing the 51st District. Good morning, Mr. Hyland.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. You know, a little bit warmer here today than it was a few days ago.
Yeah, heat wave. I'm joyous.
It is weird how, like, it can be 20 degrees and feel, like, balmy compared to what we had on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, obviously, that was kind of the news of the early part of the week, and maybe we'll start there. We saw some rolling power outages, and I think that caught a lot of folks off surprise. I know I certainly was shocked to see rolling power outages on Monday and Tuesday. From your perspective, what did that teach you about our grid and what we need to do going forward with relations to energy?
Well, a couple of things. One, it is all out of the hands of government at this point when it comes to the actual delivery of the electricity. I don't know if people know, but Kansas, along with several other states in the Midwest here, are part of the Southwest Power Pool. And their headquarters, that operation is in Arkansas. And it's like going into a NASA facility. They have all these monitors, and they're watching power outages, and they can switch and move it around different directions. But anyway, what it's taught us is that if we become too reliant on renewable energy sources, we could be in big trouble. And Texas has found that out in a harsh way, unfortunately. The wind turbines, when it gets really cold, can't turn, they turn off. And the same is true when they get real hot. So we have to be cognizant of that. And remember, it was cloudy for an extended period of time, so the solar panels weren't doing anything either. So we got to be a little careful. A week ago in the Wall Street Journal, there was an excellent article about the miniature uranium and production of electricity, the nuclear. And I think that's where the future is going to be. I attended an energy meeting several years ago up in Wyoming. And we went over to the nuclear testing facility where all the world comes to test their ideas. And we saw these miniature, I call them miniature because they could fit on a box car easily or a truck. And now the ones that I've read about in the journal are even smaller than that and produce a great amount of electricity. So if we're very serious about our future, and then it's going to be nuclear. And they can be placed at everywhere there's a coal plant. So that's my 2 cents worth on what the future might hold.
All right. Well, obviously, there's a lot of question marks on all that going forward, and certainly.
Yes, there is, and we need to be awake.
Yeah, I think is certainly the case here after what we saw this past week. Another issue I know we've been seeing a lot here recently is with the Kansas Department of Labor. There's been problems there. We've been well noted here over the last 6 to 8 months. And I know that your committee, the Commerce Committee, is working on a bill right now, House Bill 2196. Tell us a little bit more about what that will do here for protections.
Well, this bill is a lot of ideas thrown into one pot, so to speak. And we're going through it very carefully. The first thing they want to do is create a council. And this council then will oversee the Department of Labor upgrade and the development of the computer systems, which they claim, and we all understand, they need to be upgraded. So that's the first thing that has to be done. And so this council will be organized to oversee that and place in the system the safeguards that we know we need. Absolutely, we know that now, unfortunately. It also does things that sometimes the real world doesn't understand, but there's a lot of little moving parts in there that we have to put in place to either oversee or somehow get a handle on the Department of Labor. There are some ideas that include making it a standalone, like the CAPR system, where there's a board that oversees their activities and take it out of the political realm, so to speak. But a lot of ideas, we're moving through those one at a time, and it may take us a week to get through the entire process of just working the bill. And the Senate side is doing the same thing, and then we'll exchange ideas, come to an agreement at some point, hopefully. It's a long, laborious process.
That is a big priority, and of course, one of the key components of that is fraud, and I know there's been a lot of that going on here, and that is going to take some time, I imagine, to recoup some of the lost money here. There's a lot of money that's been lost.
Yeah. And we really, at today, do not know how much was lost. Estimates run anywhere from $800 million down to $200 million. I think it's somewhere in between there, but we just don't know. But it was a lot of money. We had a $1 billion in that trust fund, the unemployment trust fund, last March. That money's gone. But there may be $100 million left in there. We don't know. Every time we ask the question, they say, we'll get back to you. So we honestly do not know at this point. So it's frustrating. We can't get the answers. They always say, we'll get back to you, or the computing capacity just will not allow us to give you that information. But we know we're being stonewalled, that's for sure. But what they did do finally was they shut it down and put safeguards in there so they'd have unique identifiers for actually our citizens that need the help. But it's very slow, and they're not handling that well. My emails and phone calls will verify that, as everyone else in the legislature knows. It's a terrible situation, and hopefully we're now on our fourth acting secretary. I don't know why anybody would want that job right now. It's because they get yelled at by everybody.
Right, yeah, it's... And no easy task there. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't envy anybody in those positions. If people do need help with unemployment, though, what is your suggestion? Because I know the phone lines are probably busy, and they've got people working around the clock out there.
Well, my suggestion is to go in and open up a brand new account. That was the word we received yesterday. Just start over with a new account. With the safeguards that are being placed in, and do all that on the internet. The phone lines, we've talked to them over and over again and offered to help them any way we can, and we get nowhere, so I would forget the phone line. You're in a dire situation, let one of your representatives know. We have a special portal, so to speak, to get to those folks, but even that is not working. So, unfortunately, we're in a terrible situation, and there is no hope in sight in the next few days. Possibly within the next few weeks, we'll get this straightened out somewhat.
Okay. And we're speaking with Representative Ron Hyland from the 51st District. He is a resident of Wamego. He's also a member of the Water Committee. In fact, he's the chair of the new Water Committee. What are you guys working on over there right now?
Well, in the Water Committee, we are taking a complete look at every agency and office that touches water. So we've got Department of the Environment, we have Department of Agriculture, we have the Kansas Water Office, Parks and Wildlife, you name it, goes on and on and on. So what we're doing is we're having each of those groups come in and educate the committee. I've asked them to come in and state their mission statement. We want to know what their job is, how they do it. We want to know the reporting structure. Who do they report to? Who reports to them? And then I want to know all their finances. And once we get through that, and in addition, we're going to have the federal government come in and talk to the Army Corps of Engineers and talk to us about our lakes and how we interact with the Fed. And then we have all the groups out there that are not paid, the NGOs, non-government groups, the work of conservative groups, the conservation groups all over the state. We're going to have them come and explain to us how they fit in the entire picture. But what we have to do first is make everybody aware of how important and how dire the future for water in our state really is. And people say, well, that's a Western Kansas issue. It is not. Our rivers and lakes are filling in with silt to the point that, like Tuttle, for instance, 45 to 6% silted in, which means it can't hold the water that it was intended. And in a drought situation, may not be able to release that water down the river, which supports a lot of the population of our state. So it's a serious situation, along with the Ogallala Aquifer. So we're wanting, number one, educate, number two, take a look at everything and see if it cannot be made easier to understand right now. Even people that are associated with water don't understand all the moving parts. So our goal is to try to clean it up, make it easier to understand, make it easier for people to get in and get their water issues settled, and then more importantly, figure out what our future needs, what needs to happen in our future and fund it appropriately.
Okay. Well, that's certainly one to watch there, and people should learn more about if they can. I might just ask you one final question here. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about COVID-19 and the vaccines and all that. And my question more pertains to reopening of businesses here. And we're starting to have that conversation here, I think, in more so in Manhattan and Riley County and a little bit in Pottawatomie County as well. But how important is it for you and the legislature to really advocate for that here in the coming weeks as more people get vaccinated?
Well, what you meant to say was how are you going to continue to advocate? I mean, we have been advocating for this ever since this thing began. We knew, everybody knew, if you shut businesses down for any length of time, it will be very difficult, if not or impossible, for them to come back. Now, granted, there have been a lot of grants and money thrown at this, but still, it may not save some of these companies. I feel bad for them. And then we, as a legislature, are now looking at ways to curtail some of the powers that the governor, any governor, will have in a situation like this. Some of it was not needed, was never needed. But we, as a legislature at this point, as long as the government has emergency powers, the only thing we did that helped was we left it up to the local authorities to determine if they would follow along. And many did not, but most did, disappointingly. So, but now the people are becoming very angry and wanting some change done quickly. So the locals are listening, and I'm starting to think about opening things up, whether or not the governor would approve it. So that's where we are right now.
All right. Well, a lot of people are anxious and ready to be done with this pandemic, and I know I am. I know a lot of folks are. So we'll keep staying the course as much as we can, and we appreciate the time here this morning, Representative Hyland, and we'll look forward to talking to you down the road.
Okay, Brandon. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right. Appreciate that. Representative Hyland joining us here on News Radio KMAN, and it's now 7:16.